Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 26th of February. I'm Paul White, and I'm glad you're with me on the podcast today. We are starting a new chapter in our journey through the book of Zechariah. Today we will cover, my goal is to actually cover the entire 10th chapter today. I don't know if we've ever covered 12 verses in one day of a podcast. I'm going to try that because this is a chapter in which God is speaking of the restoration of Judah and Israel that he's going to bring. This chapter also has some anger in it, some wrath, and that tells us, I think, some timing for this chapter, and we'll lay out where that might be. I want to remind you that we are heading to Warren, Ohio tomorrow. I will be there Thursday night and Friday night of this week. That's the final day of February and the first day of March. So you can get details at our meeting at the Avalon Inn in Warren, Ohio. Those meetings start at 7 o'clock, but you can get the address at our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. And if you haven't liked our Paul White Ministries Facebook page, do that. You can get the events as they pop up where we're going to be. They'll come to you through that, and you can also follow me on Twitter. I try to post where I'm going and what I'm doing, what books I'm reading, and just things going on in our personal life. You can do that at Deeper Daily Pods. Zechariah chapter 10. Let's read. We'll just kind of work our way through some of these verses, and we'll speed up when we hit about verse 4. But ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. That word latter is closer to the Hebrew word for spring. The Lord will make flashing clouds or lightning. He'll give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. I think it's important to remember that the rain and the grass is for everyone, not just for the righteous. Jesus said it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And so the blessings of heaven, this day-to-day blessing, is not because you are good, but because God is good. Don't take the credit for why good things happen. Good things happen because God is good, not because you and I are good. Although we know who we are in Christ, yes. Verse 2, for the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies. They tell false dreams, they comfort in vain, therefore the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. They are afflicted, rather, would be a better word, because there is no shepherd. Notice that God is calling out falsehood, saying people will follow voices like sheep. I was dwelling this morning and just praying and thinking about Scripture, kind of preparing for the fact we were going to do some podcasts today, and I got to thinking about the phrase Paul uses when he talks about that Satan comes as an angel of light. And I was thinking about how easy it is to get wrapped up in like hyper-religious activity that might manifest itself in cultic activity. And I don't want to go through all the bullet points of what makes a cult. We've done that before, and that's incomplete anytime we try it, because that's a broad subject. But it's so easy for people to fall into line and go, well, I trust so-and-so, so I just follow whatever they say. And I thought, what really is, what Paul talk about when he's an angel of light, that Satan comes as an angel of light? And I think that in this hour, where I see it manifest the greatest, is in fear, because fear is the antithesis of love, and when you see peddlers of fear, I think you're seeing the enemy in an angel of light. I think when you see people purveying fear about futuristic eschatology, and they are wrapped up in apocalyptic language, looking around, creating distress and fear, and saying this is going to happen and these are going to get theirs, etc., etc. I think that's the message of Satan, the adversary. I think it's too scare, and I think it's hard to catch. It's hard to see it because people wrapped up in it will tell you that the opposite is the devil, that the devil is telling you that the kingdom is here, and that you should be doing what you can on the earth, and that's the message of the enemy. That's secular humanism. That's New Age. But those of you who are real serious about this, you need to realize that those the devil's an angel of light, so don't fall for that. And why is it we always think that the angel of light stuff is to promote a gospel that is relaxed? Why does no one call out the fact that the angel of light, that if the enemy were going to present a version of the gospel, it wouldn't be a relaxed version of the gospel. It would be a hyper version of the gospel. That's what he's always done. He's never come to people and said, you're going to be okay. And he's always said, we need to do more. You need to be doing this and this and this. Every time Moses interferes in the Old Testament with something God tells the children of Israel, his interference is to ratchet up the performance. Like God tells, God's trying to determine Israel's trying to determine those who are going to betray God and Israel. And so God tells them, bring these staffs in, and then tomorrow the ones that bud will be my man, and go home and pray. And Moses comes to the people and goes, okay, go home, pray, don't sleep with your wives. God never said that. Moses adds it. It's Moses that in the book of Deuteronomy says, if we keep these laws, let that be unto us as righteousness. God doesn't say that. Moses does. Man always adds. I'm not saying Moses was an angel of, was darkness masked as light. My point is that it's always us who ratchets things up. And so I think that you could spot that angel of that darkness masked in light fairly easy if it's promoting fear. So I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to stop because there's some things I want to bring out in verse 3 about the shepherds and the goat herds. And then when we do that, we'll rapidly finish, because much of the rest of the chapter is metaphorical language regarding the return of Judah and Israel to the restored place they need to be. What we'll do is tomorrow we'll cover 3 through 12. That will get us the whole body of the 10th chapter, because the 11th chapter is, we're going to slow way down. A lot of my book Between the Pieces was built off the 11th chapter of Zechariah, so I got a lot of stuff to talk about. 11th chapter will take us maybe weeks, but for those of you who follow us daily, you realize that, or monthly, you realize that the last day of every month is the essay edition, which means that in 2 days we will present for you the DDP essay edition. I'm excited about it. Tell you a little more about it tomorrow. See you then. God bless.